From the heart of Europe to the world, this is RTI.
Welcome back to part two of Postcard with myself, Eric Wiltshire. Lee G. Banks is back and Rich Brunsdon is all packed up, running off 4,000 kilometres away to the sunshine bits or something like that. Lee's going to rant again. The grandfather of the internet, that's Tim Berners-Lee, says governments and companies should not be able to gain control over the internet. And he said this at... one of these sort of snobby dudes like what
don't
I
don't help him out, Rachel. He's failing. Don't
no,
help him
like,
out.
Like what I went to. I was trying to become. I was struggling to become common. You see, dear boy.
The House of Commons.
Are you casting aspersions there?
I'm not casting anything. I'm casting nothing in the air or around me.
I think
later.
You were casting aspersions. Tim's warning came after he and five colleagues were recognised by the Queen for their pioneering work, which is absolutely fabulous. But I have to say, and Lee will have to endorse this one, the printing press was noted after some idiots got out of the way and let it get on with it, to be one of the most massive inventions in global history ever. And now...
There was the wheel... the horse and the printing press.
That's right. And now the Press Complaints Commission, for all of its bad sides, does actually kind of help and look after things. I think there has to be some regulation over the web, Sir Tim. Not sure which and how it should be done because I haven't written that yet, but I'll come to it.
Excuse me.
What?
Again, you are totally misleading the readers over what Sir Tim Berners-Lee's actually said.
We haven't got any readers.
Did I say readers?
Yes.
Yeah. It's all right.
Are you just picking on me now?
No.
No, you're jet-lagged. It's okay.
Yeah, you got jet-lag ears.
But that's the one and only time you're able to make a mistake.
It's better than having Spaniel ears like you.
Who flew that plane home?
Andrea.
I just flapped my ears and
boy, are my ears tired.
No, it was Lee flapping his ears, Andrea sitting on his back with the horse whip going, come on, Lee, come on, Lee.
That wedding night.
Too much wedding information.
Yes. Go on then, Lee. Go on, correct what you think is the right way to show it.
I'm too tired now. All right, yeah, no, basically, what this bloke is saying, Sir Tim Berners-Lee, is that he actually invented something for the good of man.
Yes.
It was a good thing. It was something spectacular. And what he's actually saying is that his invention, which he can claim it as his invention, should not be controlled by governments or large companies. And this is a direct statement based on the fact that it's been revealed that lying, cheating person in America called Obama, who runs the country, has actually finally had to admit that he is culling everybody's emails, collecting everybody's emails and all their information that he's used on the internet and keeping it to be used in investigating things that should never be investigated. It is a shameful use or misuse of this international gift that he gave to the world. Google do the same. Google own every aspect of your life, every email you say, every site that you visit.
Excuse me?
And he is saying that Sir Tim...
How does Google own all of my emails when I don't send them to and from Google?
Any internet company there, the simple fact is, and I thought this was shameful while I was in America when this broke about, and bear in mind it was The Guardian in England which broke this story, that the American government were collecting everybody's information off the internet and off mobile phones. Google, as the world's biggest search engine, has the bulk of all the information that people put out across the internet and keep it. And Google...
Lee, there's a problem with that. Seriously. There is a massive problem. I do not use... I mean, I have a Gmail account.
I do.
Which I use occasionally as a kind of a backup if my main email servers go down. All my other email addresses have nothing to do with Google. It would only be the time when, because you've got a Google account, for example. Right. Now, if I send something to you, it goes through a Google server.
Yeah.
And if you send something to me, it goes through a Google server.
Yeah.
If you had a different internet service provider, it would not go through Google.
I know, but that's not the point. The bulk of people actually use Google.
No, they don't.
I use Apple.
You are a rarity.
I use the ME stuff. I use Safari as a search engine. I use the ME iCloud stuff through Apple. And it doesn't have anything to do with Google.
It is a simple fact, Rachel, that if there are three people here and by fluke of circumstances only one of them uses Google, the simple fact that Google is one of the biggest companies in the world and the biggest internet provider does not mean that the fact that two people on this show don't use it.
No, I agree with that. Where Google is...
Well, then, so it's your fault. You need to stop using Google. So that way we won't be...
We won't be arguing.
All the other internet providers keep the information as well. They were arguing that it was their domain and that they had a right to keep it.
And that
actually they should be providing it. No, it isn't. It's your information.
You know what this reminds me of? This reminds me of that bomb.
Which one?
That big bomb they invented years and years ago, and they said it was for the greater good, and then the man who invented the bomb went, oh, nah.
Yeah.
This is really dangerous. I don't like this.
Are you saying the internet is not a good thing then, Rachel?
I'm saying it's a great thing, because otherwise I wouldn't be able to talk to you, you lovely man.
But if it's like that bomb.
Actually, Rach, I'm going to butt in. Rachel, Lee, Eric, all talking together, yeah?
Yeah.
We are not using Google servers.
No, we're using Skype.
Which is Microsoft.
It still doesn't negate the fact that Google is the biggest provider in the world.
There's no end to this one.
I think we'll move on, and I will have a little gloat here. Because there's been a survey done by which magazine? The so-called consumer watchdog. Oh, I wouldn't trust a tuna pushbike, Mel. But on this one, we'll go with it. They've done a speed test, and it shows that the iPhone 5 is the slowest out of seven phones that they tested. And I will do the old Alan Freeman pick of the pop stuff. Here we go. In at number seven was the iPhone. At number six, the BlackBerry. At number five, coming in hot, it's the Samsung Galaxy Note. The Google Nexus was at number four. The Sony Xperia was at number three. The HTC One was at number two. And the Samsung Galaxy S4 was at number one. And I will add to that.
We've got the Galaxy now, House.
Have you?
It's great. Yeah.
Well, is that the fastest then?
Yes.
Yeah.
I have the fastest phone.
Well, that's what they claim.
I have the slowest phone. I've got, do you know what? Do you want to laugh?
What?
Prepare to laugh and hold yourselves. Hold yourselves on your ribs because it's going to hurt.
Go on,
I have an iPhone 3,
right,
which has served me well for about 3.5 years. Nothing wrong with it. Don't feel the need to change it because it's a phone. That's all I use it for. Big deal. It freezes every now and again. So I've been told that I'm getting a new phone. And because I've got so many Apple devices, I'm getting the new iPhone to go with it, but Rob uses all the Samsung equipment and loves it.
Well,
so fast, he uses the Note and he uses the Samsung Galaxy S4.
And I will add to that previously, to about sort of 6 or 8 weeks ago, I did use the HTC One, and I now use the Nokia Windows 8 phone. And I have to say, the HTC One is like a dinosaur compared to the Nokia, which is so much faster. It's outrageous.
Yeah, it's a great phone.
It's outrageously fast. So why isn't that on the survey?
How does a phone be fast?
That's the way it works.
What? So if you dial a number,
it's applications and stuff like that.
Let's put this in layman's language. Lee, do you remember your first ever computer?
Ish.
Right. Do you remember when you used to use Word, you'd sort of click the button, then you'd wait a few seconds and it'd open up?
Yeah.
Right. On a newer computer, as long as it's not been lead, if you click the button, it just opens.
No.
No?
You must have too much junk on it. You need to do a clean.
No, it's been lead. That was a bad. Ah. That was a bad analogy. It's been lead.
Oh dear.
Yes,
it's been lead.
It's been lead. Under normal circumstances, Lee. Provided it hasn't been lead, you would find that the comparative speed from an old computer to a new one is monumentally fast.
I'm sorry, I have to argue this point. I'm sorry about this. Because, ladies and gentlemen, once again, he is misrepresenting the world to you.
Why?
My computer does not do the things that he says it does. And this is not because it has been lead. It is because Eric looks after them for me. He gets on that thing where he can go on my computer and play with it, cement it, and then it's absolute rubbish.
Excuse me, Rach, was yours a little bit faster after I played with it?
Yes. And my computer too.
Yeah. Oh, running well. Yeah.
Oh dear, we've gone back to toilet level. I apologise.
Blue humour at this time of night for Rach.
Rach, could you try and drum up an analogy that would work?
Yeah,
okay. Things are slow.
Yeah.
And then they're fast.
Yeah. I understand. So that's all you have to say, Eric.
Oh.
She's a genius. Rachel Hot Pants Brunston is a genius.
I'm sorry, Rach, you've surpassed there. I hadn't thought of dropping to that level.
Well, oh, Rachel.
That was a compliment.
And I thought succinct is the best right now, so that we can get on with the rest of the show.
Yeah, because Rachel, there's Lee and I padding like mad, and Rachel's desperate to get onto the next story.
I am desperate. This is important for me.
Shall we jump over to George Osborne and his burger?
No! Oh, I'm going to hang up. I'm going to cry and hang up. Tantrum.
Anyway, so there you go, boys and girls. The Apple iPhone is very, very slow.
And that's the end of the show, ladies and gentlemen. We're all off now.
Because we haven't got any time left. Gillian Gillard gives an emotional farewell. As Kevin Rudeboy Rudd is sworn in as Australian PM for a second time, which won't last very long. Oh, sorry, yeah. I didn't say that.
No.
Okay.
Right.
Can I take the wheel?
Yes, you take the wheel. Ready? Are you? Okay. Have you started?
You have 30 seconds, Rachel. Starting now.
No, minute. Are you started, Rach?
Have you started?
Okay.
Are you in automatic or manual mode?
For the love of God, be quiet.
Are you going to start, Rachel, or are you just pulling our legs?
Yes.
Are you ready?
Kevin Rudd unseated our government, Prime Minister John Howard, in 2007. His campaign slogan was Kevin 07. I think having a Prime Minister named Kevin is just awesome, but that's just my thoughts.
Mm.
Anyway, a little while after he was elected, there was a coup. The Labor caucus decided that they needed a new leader. They chucked him out. Julia was then put in as Prime Minister because she was the Deputy Prime Minister before that.
Right.
Then she said, people were griping and saying, because the way it went down was a bit nasty. He was knifed in the back and it was all a bit unsavoury. So the Australian people were in an uproar saying, we never elected you. So she called an election. There was an election. Yeah. She won in a minority with the help of the independents. So she was still never elected by the people. There's been this ongoing toing and froing as to whether or not she can stay leader. He did try and overthrow her at one point about a year or so ago.
Mm-hmm.
He lost. And he said, okay, that's it. I'll go to the back bench and I won't say another word about it. And he said, I will not contest the leadership ever again.
Mm, I remember now, that. Remember that.
She saw the writing on the wall a couple of days ago and said, okay, there's a petition going around saying that we need to have another vote. All of a sudden, all the ministers that backed her jumped ship and backed Kevin Rudd. They had a vote the other night because he said he wouldn't be the one to instigate it. That was his promise and he stuck to that promise.
Yeah.
He said, okay, so there was a big vote the other night. He won 57 to 43, which is even better because now he's Kevin 57. And
you mean he's not Heinz 57?
No, but he is now our prime minister once again.
Uh-huh.
She has she said before the ballot, she said whoever loses has to agree to quit politics forever. She has honoured that promise, and she's not going to contest her seat. There's an election coming up in September. Very much doubt whether or not the Labor Party can actually win that. We think that horrible Tony Abbott and his opposition government will take government, but it'll be a minority again.
Mm-hmm.
The polls, she was at 29%, the lowest popularity and poll rating that a sitting prime minister had in history.
Mm-hmm.
And Kevin Rudd's now the Labor's poll figures have gone up to 40%, where they were at 29. So just in a couple of days, they've jumped. So the people clearly like this decision. And she's now sitting in the backbench, about ready to retire, though she's still knitting the kangaroo for Kate and William's baby.
Right.
Why? Can I ask a serious political question? Why?
Sure.
Why did she say that whoever lost would have to quit politics? I think that is probably one of the most undemocratic statements ever made.
Well, I think she put that out there because this has been going on for such a long time, this to-ing and fro-ing.
And why she's still in politics.
But she also knew that when the next election came, she was going to lose anyway. She wouldn't have made that statement had she thought that she would keep her seat and win.
But she still remains in politics and is going to do so until
such time as they convene for the break, and then they start campaigning vigorously, and then the election is on September 14 or something like that.
Why doesn't she just resign?
Well, because they'd have to.
Well, she has.
Well, basically, they'd have to have a by-election to happen.
It's so close to the federal election. There's no point having a by-election.
No.
So what they're going to do is find a candidate that can run in her place in her seat, then she'll go. Interesting point of fact: she went to the same primary school as me.
What?
And yeah, she went to the same primary school that I did.
Oh,
did you
know her? No, she was older than me, but. Yes, she went to the same primary school, and she comes from Adelaide, which is where I come from, although her seat is actually, funnily enough, her seat that she holds is in Melbourne, which is kind of interesting. Mm. Kevin Rudd is a Queensland man. Queensland were decimated in the last state election. His party was completely decimated. So it's going to be hard for them to hang on to any seats in Queensland. And it's just been a real schmozzle. But the public are stoked that he's back as PM because they didn't like the way he was ousted in the first place. It was all done, you know, pretty. It was unsavoury. The whole thing left a pretty bitter taste in people's mouths.
It does sound like it's really
they
awful.
Voted him in.
It sounds a bit like Tony Blair and Gordon Brown to me.
It does. It sounds like a lot of infighting and it's just unsavoury.
It was so funny because I did put it on Facebook, and a lot of my friends on Facebook are from the UK because of the radio affiliation.
Mm.
So a lot of them said, God, this is like Blair and Brown. This is like Blair and Brown. This is amazing. This is amazing. It's so similar. And it was similar. And the fact that – but mind you, a lot of her front bench and ministers have also said they won't be contesting their seats either, including one Peter Garrett.
Oh, really?
Who, as we know, was the front man for Midnight Oil and has been the education minister for the last 6 years. So he is going to hopefully rejuvenate Midnight Oil, I hope. That'll be really cool.
You know, there's another thing in common here, H, don't you?
Mm-hmm. What?
Well, when the Prime Minister in the UK is appointed Prime Minister, he has to go to see the Queen. And she goes, yes. And, of course, the lady you got down there as the boss, whose name eludes me at the moment.
Quinton Bryce?
That's it. The PM then has to go and sort of kneel down in front of her and ask permission as well.
Yes, she does. And it's funny. One of Julia Gillard's biggest supporters, who was right behind her was right behind this coup originally that took over Karen Rudd, is a guy called Greg Combe. And he is, no, sorry, Bill Shorten is his name. And he funnily enough, happens to be the son-in-law of Quinn Bryce.
No,
and he is the one who—he's the one who jumped ship and said, "No, I'm now going to back Kevin Rudd." So,
gosh,
it's all a bit funny. But there's an overwhelming majority that he won, and you know, so now we've got Kevin 57, and the vote was at 7 o'clock, so we've got Kevin 57 at 7.
Right. So the one question left.
But
then,
I, for one, am absolutely stoked that he's back. Because
right.
What's the
populace? I mean, you said the populist polls seem to be going in his favour. Is Australia happy that they've got Kevin Rudd back?
I think it is generally, isn't it?
Yes, the majority feel is that definitely they're happy. He's got a love hate thing going on. People don't have mixed feelings about him. They either love him or they hate him. But at the moment, they dislike Julia Moore because she has. He got us out. He and our treasurer got us through the GFC.
Right.
We suffered nothing from the GFC. Nothing. Mm. We it's like it didn't happen. And those two.
For anybody else that hasn't tumbled that, it's when all the banks failed and everybody was broke. Australia didn't suffer the same problems.
That's right.
No, and he and Wayne Swan, the treasurer. Actually, Wayne Swan received that award for best treasurer in the whole wide world. Whatever
he
that
did,
award
actually.
Was.
Yeah.
And now he's also a staunch Julia Gillard supporter and has also quit the front bench. We've got a new treasurer now and he seems okay. Right. But people, we had, prosperity and everything else. And as soon as she came in, we were now $269 billion in debt or something ridiculous.
Uh-oh.
So we went from this fantastic deficit to surplus to this deficit. And so she hasn't been very popular and she's come out and said some pretty outrageous things. And it's just she left a bad taste in everybody's mouth. It was she also – there was a big – there's also a – he's got good chance because he's pro-gay marriage and she wasn't.
Ah.
So we've – I think he's going to pick up the vote for that as well.
The pink vote.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's going to be interesting times come election time. I actually wasn't going to vote. I was going to go in there and because we have compulsory voting in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
So I was going to go in there, draw a picture of a unicorn, pooing rainbows or whatever, and then tick that. But now I might actually vote something.
Yeah, but you mustn't say that on the radio. Which reminds me, I've got to say thank you to the EU this week as well, who are sorting out that I can vote in Slovakia. Hmm, so there.
That's a good thing.
That's nice, isn't it? Anyway, moving along, George Osborne defends his choice of his burger. Was he trying to be hip and trendy while he was writing a love note to Mr. Cameron at some ridiculous hour and pretending he was eating a burger, which he then gave to the butler who took it away?
Well, it is all really just a matter of that wonderful word, stupidity. Again, isn't it? This bloke is sitting there writing a review which really squeezes Britain so badly in so many places. Basically, what he's done a spending review of Britain which hurts the poor and doesn't damage the rich. Now, that the rich don't deserve damaging. The rich have worked hard for their money. Mm-hmm. But there is this simple fact that the people who have nothing are the ones who, yet again, are being screwed. And instead of going out and buying himself a 99p McDonald's burger, which would then have made a good picture and shown he has some austerity or some feelings towards austerity, the idiot goes out and buys a Byron burger, which is one of the hippest and trendiest burgers in London,
which is just happens to be, which happens to be just round the corner from him.
Absolutely,
and it just really rubs the nose. It rubs the noses of of those who are less fortunate. It's just disgusting.
It's
ridiculous.
It's
stupid.
Well, actually, I'm gonna defend Jeffrey. I mean, what's his name?
Osborne.
Ozzy Osborne. Yeah. I mean, the trouble is, he's between a rock and a hard place, whichever way he goes.
Well,
the one thing he
would have been if he'd gone to McDonald's.
The one thing that I got from the budget, which I kind of agree with, and it's something that I was the most rubbish, and I admit it, I was the world's worst spendthrift. I was rubbish.
Yeah.
Until I met our chairman. And he's got a great saying. you can only spend money in the bank. And he's absolutely right. And that's where Britain's gone down the toilet. People were spending money they didn't have. And hopefully we'll get onto it, although we've only got a few minutes left. The good news is, because we won't have time, I can see it. The good news is that the government have now, through one of the agencies, now turned it over to the Competitions Commission, who can do regulation. They are putting the brakes on these payday loan things as well, which actually nobody cares whether they can pay the loan back when they take it out. And that's the problem of Britain and so many other countries.
Is your payday loan the same as ours, with the way things are in Britain today?
Yeah, absolutely.
Go on, Rach.
The payday loans that I'm assuming that they are similar to the ones we get, they're at 8 gazillion percent. And
yes.
You know, it takes you a year
the
and a half to pay
back. The average is 2,800%.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. That's great.
And they don't actually check that you can pay the money back. And in so many cases, there's been all sorts of fraud going on because they want to do it very quickly, which I applaud. But the trouble is you can't spend what you haven't got. And I mean,
that is a maxim for living, isn't it? That really is.
You know, and that's where I think George Osborne and so many other chancellors, not just George Osborne, but a number of chancellors have been getting it in the neck recently because it is painful. Everybody can feel the difference between the 5 years ago and today, and it doesn't. It's the same for everybody. But the fact is,
There is a point here where it just shows the stupidity of the way this spending review has been operated. And that's a very simple one. Now, people who are out of work, I'm not saying that everybody who's out of work wants to be out of work, but they have to sign on. And they were supposed to sign, until now, they had to sign on once a fortnight. As a spending measure to save money, the government has introduced the fact that now they have to sign on once a week. Mm. Now, first of all, on the face of it, you look at that and think, well, that's fair enough, because that puts them under pressure to get a job. What it actually does is, A, it makes the poor people who are on the dole poorer, because they've got to pay twice to go and get the same amount of money. But the major thing that it does is increase the amount of money which is spent on administration to make that work. This is not
to process all that stuff once a week.
Yeah. Mm. Absolutely crazy.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. So I think there's got to be some rationality everywhere else. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're out of time. I haven't had time this particular week to talk about more of the payday loans scenario. The student that was shocked in Scotland after waking up and finding a scorpion in her bed. Equally, the red...
Who hasn't done that?
Yeah, red-head balls admits to running a red light. And the good news, as I finish, the Moors murderer Ian Brady has been trying to get his sentence changed to get out of the hospital because he's a loon and put back into a standard prison where he'll probably get bumped off in 2 seconds because he's bored. And it has not worked.
Good luck with that.
It has not worked. His bid to get transferred from the maximum security hospital to a prison has been ruled out by a tribunal. And that is good news. We've got to say goodbye, Rach.
Goodbye, Rach.
Goodbye, Rach.
Goodbye, Rach.
The Station of the Stars. RTI.